on JR Morning.
The Supreme Court will hear oral arguments in the biggest abortion case in the 2 years since it rolled back Roe v. Wade. In that 6-3 decision, Justice Samuel Alito, writing for the majority, said it's time to heed the Constitution and return the issue of abortion to the people's elected representatives. Let's see what this could mean for our state with Governor Gretchen Whitmer on the line. Good morning, Governor.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Could this case create barriers even in states where abortion access has been tried to be protected?
Yes, I think that's the simple answer here. And it's one of the important messages that I'm trying to make sure, voters in Michigan understand. We did codify abortion rights in our Constitution in 2022, overwhelmingly so. And we've been able to level a lot of barriers to women accessing this care. However, a Supreme Court decision that takes mifepristone away from women will impact women in all 50 states and our ability to exercise safe medical abortion, which has been available for 20 years. It is considered safe under the FDA, and this also is a medication that has a lot of other applications. So taking this away from American women and our families is one more effort to undermine our ability to make our own decisions about our body and our health care.
Governor, the potential consequences of restricting mifepristone access really extend beyond abortion services to include like the broader implications for reproductive health care. And how do you plan to address those changes to protect the reproductive rights of Michigan residents?
Well, one of the things that we've done is, I've got a package of bills coming to my desk that is the Michigan Family Protection Act, which it makes it easier to grow a family through surrogacy, protects rights under in vitro fertilization. And I know that a lot of folks in our country were surprised when the Alabama court rendered that decision that outlawed in vitro fertilization in Alabama, but those of us who've been on the front lines of this fight knew that that was a possibility. And I would just want to warn Michiganders, we amended our Constitution in 2008 to embrace embryonic stem cell research. That too could be another, threat in terms of these policies that the Supreme Court is now rendering. And I think it could have implications for every American, not just American women and our families and our doctors, but when you're thinking about juvenile diabetes, the race for cures for Alzheimer's, embryonic stem cell research is delivering the most promising treatments and potential solutions. And that, too, is at risk here.
Well, it also sets a dangerous precedent potentially here, Governor, because if the courts start second-guessing FDA decisions, you could have any number of life-saving drugs or the development of the drugs in the future put at risk by judicial, for lack of a better term, meddling. I do want to ask you, though, to address what the plaintiff's argument is here, that the FDA was acting upon insufficient data and perhaps faulty data when making decisions about the safety as well as the efficacy of these drugs, that they are perhaps putting the lives of women at risk.
You know what? The plaintiffs could have brought this case at any time during the last 20 years. They only brought it when they now saw that they had an opening with this Dobbs decision and these, new folks on the court that are Trump appointees that eviscerated Roe v. Wade. I don't give them a lot of credibility that they're now swooping in after 20 years of this use of this drug. Millions of Americans have used it safely. It does concern me, Guy, when you recognize that any group could now bring a lawsuit and question FDA's decision and take a drug that's been proven and tested and safe on the market off the market based on their potential political or religious reason is. I would submit that a group could go and say, any disease could be, that's God's will that you have it. You shouldn't have access to this medication. And that's why we should have government out of these decisions, these important medical decisions, and out of our personal lives.
Yeah, we should point out the FDA data shows that only 0.7% of women are hospitalized who take this drug, and it's usually to seek remedies like cramping and bleeding that are naturally occurring when you use this drug and the termination of a pregnancy, that the drug is not acting beyond what the expectations of it are.
And the use is beyond just abortion. Sometimes you're having a miscarriage and your doctor prescribes it for that use. Just switching topics with you, Governor, briefly. Senator Mallory McMurrow was on our air yesterday talking about this Michigan 360 bill and sort of diverting money in a different way to incentivize business. But we read that you may not be 100% on board. What is it that you would like to see?
Well, you know, I know that we are in a race competing with our, not just our neighboring states, but states across the country and other countries, frankly, to onshore supply chains. And we've been able to make great strides by enhancing our economic development tools. We still have one arm tied behind our back. I want to make sure we've got an R&D tax credit. We've got Renaissance Zone flexibility. We've got the SOAR fund. I mean, I think that there are a lot of innovation funds that we could be utilizing. So I know that the Senate pushed out a bill that, you know, they've had a lot of debate on. I know they worked a lot on that. It's going to the House. There's still a lot of negotiation to be had. I just want to make sure that we're able to compete and win, because at the end of the day, when we onshore supply chains and build chips here in Michigan, it's just one example. It secures the rest of our economy.
And Governor, I got to ask you about the MSU board situation. Now, how do you plan to approach the situation with the Michigan State University trustees and that censure for the chair, the former chair, Rima Vassar, and trustee Dennis Denno?
Well, you know, we have a process that we will follow. My legal team and I are reviewing everything that's been sent. I've read the 66-page report. I think that I owe it to the people of Michigan to follow our process, do our due diligence. And at some point, I would anticipate I'll be referring it to the Attorney General's office, as I do with every one of cases like this, and we'll go from there. But I've got nothing to announce. I'm keeping an open mind and trying to get all the facts, and I'll wait for the Attorney General to respond. But I haven't sent that over yet. I anticipate we will shortly.
Governor, we appreciate your time. We'll also await the Supreme Court oral arguments today.
Yes, thank you so much.